I would invite you, if you would like, to turn with me in a Bible to Proverbs chapter 31. Actually reading verses 30 and 31, and then I'm going to read briefly from Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. Proverbs 31, 30 and 31. One of those verses is on the front of your bulletin. And then Mark chapter 6. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a share in the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the city gates. And in Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30, a familiar story that is found both in Mark and Matthew. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Choir, thank you. Debbie, thank you for your prayer. And I couldn't help but think, maybe I don't need to. No, that's not going to happen. But thank you. Well said. Think back to a time when your mother or another significant woman within your life showed you great love. Just reflect for a moment. What image, or perhaps what images, come to mind? For some, it might be laughter and a hug, particularly a hug when it was needed and no one else seemed to care. For others, you might think of that person tirelessly cooking, cleaning up after you when, after the 40th time of clean your room, you still didn't do it. Maybe sewing clothes. Perhaps for others, your image would be that of carrying you to church. Unfortunately, guys, for many, that is the memory of the mom taking them to church and going with them. Perhaps teaching in Sunday school, or, you know, we used to have vacation Bible school when I was growing up for 2 weeks, and it was from 9 a.m. to noon, Monday through Friday. And of course, since at that particular point in time, not that many women worked outside the home, the only male that was there was the creature and the moms and the other ladies came, and they taught vacation Bible school. And guess what? They were the ones very often who helped us when we made decisions and professions of faith. Or perhaps your image is that lady at home praying for you and for others, perhaps for even years after you were gone out of the house, watching with worry when you were sick, doctoring illnesses, and there are still some, even with grown children, when people get sick or something happens, who do they call? Dr. Mom. Teaching you your ABCs. Reading with you. Teaching you math. Sharing of her knowledge. Crying proudly as you graduated from high school, perhaps from college. Standing there when you got married. Proud but eyes filled with tears. And on and on and on we could go, right? Of course, we know that while we all had a mother who gave birth to us, not all have had mothers who did the aforementioned things. And there were other women who have stepped up in our lives. Who did those things and even more. The things that we wanted, yes, but more importantly, things that we needed to be done. Even when we didn't have a clue. Some of those might have been related to us. Others were neighbors, teachers, friends of the family who became mother to and for us, and who worried perhaps sometimes even more than our own mothers, birth mothers, have worried and continue to pray for us years and years later. So today, as we reflect, I want us to reflect for a few moments on women who mothered us. And I do want to mention later a few characteristics of those women and a few biblical women who prove that, as the verse says, the fear of the Lord is to be cultivated and praised. Now, when we are speaking here of the fear of the Lord, as so often is the case in the biblical text, especially in the Old Testament, we're not talking about being afraid and dodging the lightning bolts thrown down from God. Instead, what we are speaking is awe, reverence, respect, and a deep faith in and for God, which results in a life of reverence and humility and respect. A life in which the fear of the Lord necessitates knowledge of God. Intimate knowledge of God and being known by God. And that is really what is spoken of in verse 30. This fear of the Lord is not spoken either by a husband or children in this proverb. Rather, it is an outsider who has been observing godly and God-fearing or God-respecting living by women. Perhaps a significant woman within his own life. In many places, including here, actually, learning wisdom and knowledge and speaking and teaching that wisdom and knowledge by a woman is strongly praised. In verse 26 of this chapter, she opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. That doesn't just mean she teaches with kindness in her voice, but she teaches kindness to those who listen. And again in verse 30, this woman who fears the Lord, there's an interesting understanding here. If you go to the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures, there is another line that serves as a doublet here. And most of the time, we don't hear this, but I do want to share it with you. The second line that follows this, or the other line that follows this, says, an intelligent woman, or literally a woman of knowledge, is praised, and it is she who praises the fear of the Lord. So it's not just about being that person who fears God, but it's also about the knowledge that is attained and the wisdom that is shared by that woman who is humble enough to recognize that awe and reverence for God. And when we remember the beginning of Proverbs, where it talks about wisdom and understanding, and that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, fools despise knowledge and instruction. This makes even more sense. A woman of knowledge, and a woman whose knowledge includes knowledge of God, who reveres God and then teaches that to others, especially children, that woman is to be praised. The writer recognizes, though, here that there are many who will take the route of charm and beauty and seek to live by that route rather than seeking knowledge and humility. But those women who seek and properly use knowledge and wisdom wisely are to be even more greatly praised. Now, I know that trading merely on charm and beauty is not really relevant in our world today, right? Ha. On the other hand, I would say that wisdom and knowledge, those greater qualities, are not sought after by enough. But these are the qualities of that woman that are being praised by the writer. Those women who seek to attain that knowledge and share it. Yet, knowledge for knowledge's sake is not enough. Rather, the knowledgeable woman who respects God will share. Will share those insights, will share that wisdom, will share the love and the grace that she finds from God out of an increasing spirit of love and care. We would have many examples throughout the Bible and even beyond. And though one of the greatest is Jesus' mother, Mary, who gave herself and gave of herself and then gave her child, and whose sacrifice we will remember in a few moments as we come to table. But there is another here in the New Testament of which we read a few moments ago. A Syrophoenician woman whose daughter is ill, is sick with a demon, with an unclean spirit. This woman comes to Jesus, even though Jesus is actually trying to get aside and fly under the radar, not that they had radar, but to stay out of sight for a while, to rest, to recharge. But we're told in the text that even though he tried to keep where he was a secret, that didn't happen. And this woman comes to Jesus, a Syrophoenician woman in the area of Tyre. We're told she's a Gentile, a Syrophoenician, and it was bad enough just to say she was a Gentile coming into a Jewish house. But the people in Syrophoenicia were considered, at best, dogs. We've mentioned this in the past. And there are two different words for dogs that are used in the New Testament, and one is for the yard dog. The other is for the indoor dog. And interestingly enough, the word that Jesus uses here is the yard dog. When he says to her, she comes and he says, well, it's not right to take the food from the children and give it to the yard dogs. And she says, yeah, but even the inside dogs eat the children's crumbs. This woman then would have risked being scorned and being abused, perhaps even being shown the door in a rather hasty and harsh manner. But she recognized something in Jesus from God, and she risked herself to come, to show that reverence for what God was doing in and through Jesus, and in and through His healing. Her fear, her reverence, is shown in a loving and faith-filled way. Though she is a Gentile, she has recognized that God is present in Jesus in a special way. Now, we might like to chalk this up simply to her care for her child. And that's part of it, is her care for her child. That love. And not faith. But in some translations, when Jesus speaks to her, and in the Gospel of Matthew, he definitively says something about how great her faith is. He doesn't talk about her love and care for her child. He commends her for her faith, her recognition of God in Jesus, and her faith being exhibited in coming. She would have expected to be treated with disdain, especially by a rabbi. But she had heard of Jesus' miracles. And she comes taking a chance that perhaps God would hear her plea. As she stands to the side, pleading, she asks for mercy on her by healing her daughter. This is more than just a blind shot in the dark. Because, note, she addresses Jesus as, O Lord, thou son of David. There was a sense of knowledge of who Jesus was and is, and then an action of faith. At first, there was no answer in the Matthean version. Here, Mark writes much more succinctly. But in Matthew's version, there's no answer, and then finally, Jesus does respond. Not right to give what was for the children, that is Israel, to the dogs. Now, some commentators think that Jesus was testing her faith to see, really, is it all that strong? Others see that Jesus might be trying to make a point to his followers. You all have had me. You've had the scriptures. You've seen me. You've heard me. You've watched the healing, and yet you still don't understand. And here, this woman, who you consider a dog, who was not privileged like you are, has believed with the knowledge that she has. She's been turned down before. And here Jesus responds with something that seems like, once again, another turn down. But she remains consistent in her reverence and respect. And she persists. One writer says that for her, and I quote, three qualities stand out, that of worship. She called him by a messianic title, a title for the Messiah of God. That of humility. She recognized that she was really not worthy to approach Jesus and ask him. But she came anyway. And that of faith. Worship, humility, and faith. A faith that persisted. She persisted because of her faith in Jesus' ability to heal and her faith that he would listen to her. And so Jesus heals her with a word because of her fear of the Lord that she showed. And not only was her daughter healed, but the woman's faith was strengthened and rewarded. There are many women of faith that we could mention. Those who had that fear of the Lord, not all of them we would expect to be all that pious. And yet, we find that God rewards that faith and that fear of the Lord. Just to toss out a few names. Who would have ever thought Rahab, the harlot? But she proved faith and respect and reverence for God when she hid the spies in Jericho. And that was rewarded. Deborah, who proved to be a judge and was rewarded for her faith. Ruth, who put herself within God's grace, a Moabite woman. And yet, that fear of the Lord was exhibited. Phoebe, who served as a deacon, we are told in Romans chapter 16 at the church of Cenchreae, and who had actually brought letters to the church at Rome, and tradition later says she also served there. Priscilla, who helped set up churches with her husband Aquila in their home, and who taught the Christian gospel and tutored even Apollos, who becomes one of the super apostles at the Corinthian church. And there are so many others throughout the millennia that we could mention, even women in this fellowship, past and present, who have shown that fear of the Lord, that reverence and respect that allowed them to intimately know God. So a woman who fears and reverences the Lord, according to Proverbs and other places in the Bible, is one who is strong and relies on the Lord for both the present and the future. Verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. What that means is she reverences and respects God and doesn't fear the future, but rather looks with hope and strength. Who has practiced wisdom and shares it, as we have already read. And who does not live for herself alone, but spends herself serving God and serving others. So it is at this point that we have a challenge to live up to those qualities. But also for me to say thank you. Not just to those who have been birth mothers, but to all of those women who have reverenced and respected the Lord and shared of yourself, so that all of those children into whose lives you have come and who have come into your lives, no matter how old they may have been or how old they may still be, thank you that they have benefited from the fact that you are a woman who has feared the Lord and shared His grace. Our closing hymn prior to our communion, our coming to table, to remember that mother who shared her son, but more importantly, to remember that son who came and who gave his life for you and me, is number 786, Count Your Blessings. As we stand and as we sing, may we certainly count those blessings, not just the blessings from God in Jesus, but the blessings from God through those women who have shown that blessing. Number 786, Count Your Blessings.